Father in heaven, Almighty God, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would fill each and every person that hears this message with your very presence. Speak to our hearts, Father, and teach us. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. In response to the President's recommendation on limiting gatherings, we will still not be having our church services. But we will continue streaming our messages on Facebook at Augustana Lutheran, a free Lutheran congregation. More information can be found at our website, www.augustanaduluth.com. I want to encourage you during this time of uncertainty that you can rely on the promises of God. And I want to include three promises of God before the message this morning about how close God is to us. We have an almighty God, an all-powerful God, and an all-knowing God, and an all-present God. When we trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior, our Lord, and as the Son of God, God lives in us. We Christians believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God. But all three of them live in us. Christ prayed in John 14:16-17, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth, for he dwells within you, and you shall be and shall be in you. And in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you? We are promised the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God's word says in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. We are further promised the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are promised the indwelling of the Son of God, Christ Jesus, through faith in him. We have the fullness of God in Ephesians 3:19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, this is speaking of the fullness of God the Father. We are given the promise of the indwelling of the Father in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How close is God when you believe in Christ as your Savior, your Lord, and as the Son of God? God lives in us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All live in us. We are filled with the fullness of God. We praise God for being with us. What an awesome privilege and responsibility, the fullness of God living in us, when we are his children by faith in Jesus Christ. The goodness of God has not been canceled during this time. Wake up each morning and know God loves you. And rejoice that he is with you each day. I pray that you will be blessed by these messages. And if you are able and moved by the Holy Spirit to give to our ministry, please mail your donations to Augustana Lutheran Church, 3251 Midway Road, Duluth, Minnesota, 55810. The message for this morning and for this Sunday is the rejection of the King. And our scripture is found in Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, and came to Bethage at the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them." And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid the clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes went before those who followed, cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Amen. The rejection of the king. The account of Palm Sunday is the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. This is significant in the life of Jesus Christ. It is recorded in all four Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In this message, we look at three areas. Jesus enters as king. Secondly, the spiritual blindness of the people. And three, how do you know Jesus? First, it's important that this was Passover week. And I have read that there may have been more than 1 million people in the Jerusalem area. The Passover crowd was composed of three different groups of people. The Jews who lived in Jerusalem. The crowd from Galilee. And the people who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. They're sharing this miracle. Probably increased the size of the crowd. They probably came wanting to see more miracles. This is the only time in Jesus' ministry that he actually planned and promoted a public demonstration. Before this, he always cautioned the people not to tell anyone. And he also avoided public scenes. But Jesus enters as king here. He came riding a donkey. This was what the Jewish royalty wrote. We read in Mark, Luke, and John that a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down palm branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And this is how we get the name Palm Sunday. In all four Gospels, the people proclaim Jesus as their king by their words and their actions. They shouted, "Hosanna," which means "save now." They were quoting from Psalm 118, verses 25 and 26. Israel was treating him as king because they wanted to be saved from Roman persecution. What would Israel do with their king? They would crucify him. Although Jesus knew what awaited him, he was not afraid of his enemies. Palm Sunday was 5 days before his going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, to die for your sins, and to die for my sins. And a week from his being raised from the dead, according to the scriptures. How their hearts and their minds changed so quickly from giving him honor as king to crucifying him. Why did Jesus come as king? Because he is obeying the very word of God and fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and riding on a colt, a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." In the book of Matthew, Christ's entry, two very important phrases are left out. Zechariah begins, "Rejoice greatly." The Lord did not come into Jerusalem for a time of rejoicing. That will happen at the second coming. When Jesus comes to the city, he actually wept. And we can read that in the book of Luke. How could he or other people rejoice when judgment is coming? Secondly, what is left out is he is just in having salvation. The Lord's coming to Jerusalem was an act of mercy and an act of grace. He was giving them another chance to know him as the Son of God. Our Lord is a Lord of mercy. He did have salvation for them, but they refused to accept it. I think the Lord Jesus is weeping today over those who refuse to accept his salvation and are rejecting him.
Amen.
Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Yes. Have you accepted him as your Savior?
Yes.
Have you? Is he rejoicing or weeping over you? The Jews did not recognize Jesus as their king. In Matthew 21, verses 10 and 11, it says, "And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" They did not know him as Savior. They did not know Jesus as the Son of God. Too many people today do not know Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, or as their Son, as the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Our second point this morning is what caused their spiritual blindness. Palm Sunday began with so much excitement and a promise, but ended with rejection and hatred. The religious leaders gave them false doctrine and false teaching, which still is happening today in churches. The people were deceived. They were robbed of the truth of the Word of God. Religious leaders were very critical of Jesus. It's too easy to be critical. And that is why we are told in Scripture not to judge, but to bless those who persecute us. The religious leaders committed murder in the eyes of God because they hated Jesus, and it caused others to hate Jesus. To keep from being deceived, we are told in Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "To receive the word of God with all readiness and search out the Scriptures daily to find out whether things are true or not." We are told to search out the Scriptures. The Word of God is our authority. We're instructed in Scriptures to be encouragers and not be critical. You know, the grass is always greener when you water it. When we give encouragement, we cause others to grow. The tongue is powerful. It can encourage and it can tear down. We all need to water the grass and be encouraging to each other. We are one body in Christ and need to lift each other up. So how do you know Jesus? In our text, the people did not know Jesus. They thought he was a prophet. As 1 John 1:11 says, "He came to his own, and his own did not receive him." The people had seen and heard of the workings of Jesus. They'd seen all his miracles. But they were deceived by the workings of the devil. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43, "I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive." This verse says that those who do not receive Jesus Christ will receive the great deceiver, Satan. How sad this is, but how true it is. There's only two paths to take. Either we believe in Jesus Christ, or we'll take the path of unbelief, following after sin. Our third point here is how do you know Jesus? Everyone that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And everyone that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, a spirit against Christ. 2 John, verse 7. All who believe in Jesus Christ and believing is following him are children of God. Nathanael believed Jesus was the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 49, Nathanael answered unto him and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Mary knew who Jesus was. Jesus said in John 11, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whether he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to Thomas in John chapter 27, verses 20, or John 20, verses 27 to 29, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. What a powerful confession Thomas had. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Nathanael, Peter, Martha, Thomas, and Paul knew Jesus as the Son of God, as their Savior of the world, and as their Lord. Do you? Who do you say Christ is? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? Do you believe in your Savior and Lord? Jesus said if you believe in him, you would never die. When you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says, who is the one that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Let no one deceive you. As 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Always remember, Christ who is in us is greater than Satan who is in this world. Through faith in Christ Jesus, we have victory. We've been saved from this thing of death. We have eternal life and a home in heaven reserved for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we thank you for this word you've given to us. A powerful word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Bible, for the very words you share with us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being with us each and every day. We thank you for making Jesus real to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious and holy name. Amen.